right. Long time no see, huh? So I was informed. Thank you. Thank you. I was informed about three times on my way back to the sound booth that that was a very lengthy offering chat. And that's why I don't take up the offering typically. We allow Daniel to do that. He's gone this weekend. So I'm trying to work myself out of a job when it comes to taking up the offering. So anyway, this morning, we're continuing our FAQs series, which is, if you don't understand what an FAQ is, it's just simply a frequently asked question. And so anytime that you have a question about an organization or a product, like this is what I do, maybe you do the same thing, you hop on their website, you use the Google machine, right, and you type it in, and it comes up to their website, and there's always a section, there should be a section of their website called FAQs, and it answers the questions that people ask most often about that product, about that organization, like, you know, what's their, last week we kind of started off with what's our story, like, how did we start, what are we here for, like, why did we start another church in Longview, because Longview's kind of got a few churches already, right, and so we talked about, we started a church that was just a little bit different, right, for people that are a little bit different, right, and so that's kind of our story, and we talked about the mission of Motion, and it's simply to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ, which is, there's a lot to that, but that's the gist of it, and what's so powerful about that is it's so inclusive. Wherever you are in your life, it applies to you. Like, if you've been in church your entire life, we still want to kind of help you to live and move and have your being in Jesus to a greater degree. If you're kind of teetering on the decision as to whether or not you should follow Jesus and give your life to him, we want to help you to live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ, right? So it's very inclusive. And then we also talked about the vision of the church and how we are, our church, like at our core, what we want to do is reach people who don't go to church. We want people who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus through our efforts as a church. And so that's more exclusive. It's a very, very particular group of people. Now, we don't do that at the expense of people who are church people, because I'm a church person, right? Like, as church people, we get that it's not about us completely, right? Like, we want to also be focused on others, and it's not my four and no more, and we exclude others in this journey. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to talk about some more of the kind of the practical questions that people ask, and some of the things that we do as a result of why we do what we do, right? Last week, we talked about the why. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about the what. What, right? You guys can give me some feedback every once in a while. That would be okay. Unacceptable. I'm just kidding. I've been coming at Adam all day because he snarked at me this week, so I have to get back at him. So I've got the mic. I can do it from the stage. Life is good. Slightly abusing the power, but hey, so be it. And so this week, we're going to talk about some of the things that we do as a result of what we believe and why we believe we exist and why we're here. Before we get entirely into that, we're going to answer the first question, which would be, what are the core values of the church? Does everybody understand what core values are? They're kind of the guiding principles, the morals, the ethics that an organization adheres to that kind of helps them determine the decisions that they make. It kind of helps them determine the course that they're going to take. So like I said before, if Chick-fil-A has them, it's got to be godly, right? Because everybody knows that Chick-fil-A is Christian chicken. Right. So I don't even like Chick-fil-A all that much. Matter of fact, we went last night. Okay, let me just tell you, let me get upset for just a minute. We go to Chick-fil-A like once every 3 months. For some reason, I wanted some ice cream last night. Ice Dream, because it can't be ice cream at Chick-fil-A, right? So we went to Chick-fil-A to get some Ice Dream because Tavian had a free coupon because he killed it in school this year. I don't know, just typical parent, right? And so we go. It's like 9:30 on a Saturday night. I mean, we're not being outrageous here. They're out of ice cream. How you run out of ice cream? Christian chicken. Anyway, so organizations, in order for them to operate efficiently and kind of to stay on course, they set these guiding principles, their core values, their values that determine their operation. And so instead of calling ours core values, we chose to call them the laws of motion, right? Just so funny. Like, because when we first thought of that, I was like, oh, so awesome. And now I'm just like, that's cool. You know, doesn't have the same effect, right? Doesn't have the same effect. So we're just going to kind of cruise through the core values of motion, the laws of motion, and the things that we deem absolutely essential. It's not that other things aren't important, but these are the most important. And so the first one is community. Like, we just believe that you are not intended to live your life alone. under a rock as a hermit. We're created for relationships. We are created to do life together. It's better together. It's more meaningful together. It's a lot easier together. And sometimes people make it harder, but other people make it better, right? So, you get that? And so we need community, man. We just need people that, like, there are so many ways that this plays out and so many ways that this kind of, you know, will translate into your life. Sometimes you need people to be there for encouragement. Like, man, I'm having a bad day. Man, I could use a word of encouragement. Man, I could use a hug. Like, we've talked, and you guys probably know this, how a hug literally releases a chemical in your brain that gives you happiness. It makes you happy. Is it oxytocin? Oxystocin? What? Oxytocin. Thank you, smart people. These Laterno kids, man, nothing gets by them. They're ready. They're on it. True story. And so anyway, it releases a chemical in your brain that literally makes you happy. You can't tell me that we weren't created for relationship when our brain reacts to relationships like that, right? We were created for relationships. So we push and we emphasize community a lot. We emphasize Sunday morning. This is great, man. We want you to get here early and enjoy the atmosphere and hang out with each other. But we want it to go a little bit deeper than that, too. We push small groups. We want you to be involved and plugged in to a small group with people who are kind of maybe at similar stages in life as you are. We have a married small group. That's just kind of an easy way to understand this. We're all married. We all have something in common, right? And if you're married, you probably have a lot more in common than just that. Like, the wife wants to kill the spouse, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Not a very good one. There's a little bit of truth in every joke, right? I'm just kidding, sort of. And so community is, man, it's so important. And a lot of times, it's not even just that you need the encouragement. Sometimes you need encouragement like, hey, knock it off, or you're better than that, or stop acting like that, or stop doing that. And it's still encouragement because here's the standard that you're held to, and this is the expectation we have for you, and you're living down here, but we want to encourage you to get where you could be, where you should be, the potential that's inside of you. So community is so important. The next one is rest. The next law of motion is rest. We live in a busy, fast-paced, 300-mile-an-hour world that doesn't ever want to stop, that doesn't ever want to slow down 24/7. I mean, everything is accessible 24 hours a day. You've got 24-hour news networks and 24-hour ESPN, which I'm thankful for. Because sometimes you wake up and you can't sleep and you just, I don't know. I need the white noise, but that's just me. Everything is accessible 24 hours a day. Like, there's always something to do. And so sometimes we just need to turn it all off. We need to be able to disconnect. We need to be able to rest our minds, our spirits, our hearts, our bodies. And so you can look at, there are so many studies, man. There are so many, like, bits of research. And what's really funny to me, it's kind of fascinating and really just kind of proves the point to a greater degree, is that a lot of the research is done by secular research, groups. They're not Christians. They're not trying to push any kind of agenda. But we just believe that taking a day of rest every single week is a biblical thing. Like, God said to take a Sabbath. And when you take that day of rest, even research from secular, research groups proves that taking one day a week is so healthy for your body. It's so good for your body. It's so good for your relationships. Because you know what? This is what I know. When you're tired, you treat people like trash. It's so true. And we're all probably, we've seen that effect on our life. And so, man, taking that day of rest is important. So we want to kind of emphasize that as a church. We take times of rest. We take the last Sunday of every year off as a church. Not just because everybody's gone, which that is a contributing factor. That's why we choose to do that Sunday. But we also want to honor our volunteers who work every single week all throughout the year. And we want to give them a Sunday to really enjoy it with their families, to rest. And so we don't just talk about it. We try to implement it and do it. The next one is authenticity. You guys are writing these down, correct? Good. The next one is authenticity. And that's kind of a big word and a lofty word. But the idea is simply that we don't ever want to kind of put on airs and act like we've got it all together and we're perfect and this is the standard here and you're down here, so try to be like me, right? Because you've probably seen that, and this is what I've come to learn, and maybe it's just in my experience, maybe it's not 100% accurate all the time, but people that act like that usually have the darkest secrets and the deepest secrets and more, they just do a better job of hiding it. And the truth is, we're all a little messed up. We're all imperfect. We're all sinners. In the book of Romans, it says that every one of us are sinners. We all come short and we fall short of the glory of God. Like, none of us are perfect. So don't even pretend. And that's kind of one of the things we never wanted to put off or come across as if we've got it all figured out and we've got it all together. Because what that does is it pushes people away. Because their initial response or their initial kind of the inclination that they have is that I'll never fit in there. I'll never make it at that place because I'm not perfect. I know me. I know my faults and my flaws and my failures. So I can never belong at that place. And we want to take that kind of, you know, anything that would be a stumbling block, we want to take it out of play. And so we just want to be authentic, man. I try to be as honest as I can about my struggles, right? Things that, like, you know, road rage, for example. I don't have a problem with that. You probably do. Anytime that I have a struggle or something that I'm wrestling with, I want to be honest. I want to share that with you guys. And I know that everybody here tries to model that. So that's the next one, is authenticity. After that, this is something we talk about every single week in some aspect, is generosity. The reason that we take up an offering and then we take 10% of what, I mean, just think about this for a minute. We could keep everything that comes in the offering, and we could keep it for the operations here at the church and the things that we're trying to do at the church, and it would be put to good use, and there would be nothing wrong with that. Like, that would be perfectly normal to do that. But we chose in the very beginning to everything that came in, we're going to give 10% away to an outside organization so that we can model generosity to the church. Like, hey, not only am I giving to the church, but my church is giving to another organization. We just wanted to be exemplary in the way that we handle the money that's given to the church. And so generosity is huge. Like, here's the deal. Like, people don't like talking about money. People get all upset when you talk about money in the church. But the bottom line is this. We have zero influence and zero impact in the community of Longview unless we have some money. It's just that simple. Like, our ability even to gather and meet on a Sunday morning is gone unless we have money to pay for lease and lights. You know, people have such a skewed perspective on church. Like, I don't know, everything operates on faith. Send your faith check to AEP and see if the power doesn't get cut off. AEP doesn't like faith checks. They like real checks. They like money, right? And so it takes money. It takes money. And so we want to be generous people so that we can have a greater impact on the community that we live in. The next one is relational evangelism. And that kind of sounds like a really technical and churchy word, but I'll explain it. Basically, people don't respond to, have you met Jesus and accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Somebody knocking on your door at your house that you've never met in your entire life. You know what I do when people knock on my door? Oh, Lord. Like, that's my response, and I'm sure I don't like to be bothered when I'm in the privacy of my own home. Like, you guys understand that. I'm sure, unless you're just, like, the extrovert, like, and you're welcoming. Hey, you probably cook somebody a meal if that was the case. But Shelly's an extrovert, and she doesn't even like people coming over to our house. I'm sure that most of us feel the same way. Relational evangelism is this. We simply believe that most people who genuinely, that's an easy word for me to say, genuinely respond to the gospel, do so through a close personal relationship of another follower of Jesus. They know somebody who goes to church, who loves Jesus, not perfect, but they know that person, and that person, through the relationship, reaches them, evangelizes them, and leads them to Jesus. And we've just kind of thought from the beginning that that's how we want to do things. We want to be, you guys, if you've gone to any kind of business classes or you've taken business classes in college, you know that the greatest form of advertising is word of mouth advertising, kind of the hey, this is what's going on here, and you share it. Like, dude, you can put billboards all around town. The last thing we ever wanted to do is put my face on a billboard. Nobody would ever come to the church, right? We didn't ever want to do a lot of the traditional forms of marketing and advertising because we just believe they're not very effective. We wanted to do the greatest form of advertising, which is word of mouth, which is kind of, again, the relational evangelism aspect. Just the culture that we live in is different than it was 20 years ago, and you have to adapt. The next one, there's only seven. We're five through. We got two more to go. But then we've got other things to talk about, so don't think you're off the hook, right? This is probably going to be less long-winded than my offering talk, though, so life is good. The next one is excellence. And we just want to do everything that we do to the best of our ability. We don't have, you know, a massive budget like, you know, some very large churches do, and they can spend bukus of money on this or that. But we just want to take what we've got and give our very best to it. Like, we don't ever want to shortchange the message. We don't ever want to, you know, to not give 100% of our effort to make it the best that it can be. And people do this a lot of times. They just kind of say, well, that'll do, right? Good enough. And I just don't know that that should ever come into our vocabulary or our lexicon when we're talking about the church, because we're talking about the greatest message of all time. Like, the greatest message of all time is this, that Jesus took our place. Like, he came and he died on the cross for you and for me. Like, that's the greatest message of all time. So we should never, ever not give that our best effort. We should always be excellent. If we truly believe that it's the greatest message of all time, we'll do our best to communicate it as such. And there are several aspects to that that we won't get into, but you guys get the idea. Excellence, man. Just do the best that you can. And the last one, and we kind of talked about this last week, is relevance. We just want to make sure that we continue to be relevant to the people that we're trying to reach. Like we said, we never set out to be exclusive. Like, if you're a church person, and, you know, we could talk about, this is what I know, and this is kind of funny and a pet peeve a little bit. Like, when people talk about, oh, that church isn't deep enough. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You know what that is? That's a reflection of their own inadequacies. That's a reflection of their own personal discipline to follow Jesus and to know more about him. Because nowhere in the Bible that they're purporting to know so much about that they would accuse a church of being shallow, nowhere in that Bible does it say that it's the church's or the pastor's responsibility to make them grow in their faith. You know whose responsibility your personal relationship with Jesus is? You. Some personal responsibility is an incredible thing. And so as a church, man, I hope that you learn something every once in a while. Like, here's the deal. If you're so interested in hermeneutics and exegesis and eschatology, then there are so many resources out there for you. But we're not going to do that here, because most people are like, right? No clue, no interest, to be honest with you. We want to make it easy. Like we talked about last week in Acts chapter 15, we want to make it as simple as possible for people who are not of the faith to come of the faith, to make it for people who are Gentiles, like it said in Acts 15, to know Jesus, like people who don't know him to come to know him. And they don't do that when you start talking crazy, right? We want to give you something when you leave this place, some very practical application that you can apply to your life, and Jesus becomes real to you then. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Let me just kind of let you know and let you off the hook. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you listen to other podcasts throughout the week. Like, I do too. Shocking, right? Like, I love listening to people who are way more intelligent than I am that talk about things that I'm still trying to figure out. Like, I'll listen to a podcast, and a week later, I'm like, I think I get it, right? You're not going to hurt my feelings. Go listen to Matt Chandler. Go listen to Stephen Furtick. Go listen to Perry Noble. Go listen to these incredible teachers and pastors and leaders. You're not going to hurt my feelings, right? You're off the hook. It's free and clear. But here on Sunday morning, we're going to remain relevant to the audience that we're trying to reach. That's how that works. Good. So those are the core values of the church. Quick recap. Community, rest, authenticity, generosity, relational evangelism, excellence, and relevance. So that's the first question. First of four, but that's the longest by far. Everybody go. Whew. The second one is this, and this is a legitimate question. When we ask these questions, I'm not criticizing the people that ask the questions. The second question is, why don't you, as a church, why don't you have membership? And that's a legitimate question, because this is something that we do that's a little different than a lot of the churches around here. A lot of the churches around here are more traditional, and they have membership, and you join the role or whatever it is that you do to become a member of that organization or that church. And we're just a little different, because this has kind of been, maybe it's my mentality, and maybe I've seen this modeled in other places, that we just are way more interested in participation than we are in membership. I could care less if your name is on a form somewhere, if you're not involved in the life of the church. Like, I don't even care. But if you're involved in the life of the church, I don't care if your name's on a form somewhere. Like, if we could just look at this biblically again for a second, show me in the Bible where it says that you have to be a member of a church to be very pleasing to the Lord. And they want to bust out is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about that we're all members of the body, but it doesn't, anywhere in that does it talk about the local church, the ecclesia. Nowhere in there does it say that you have to form and join and be a part of a local body. We are all part of the body of Christ. Like, you have a function and a role, but that never happens if you don't participate. Like, we value participation over membership. And so maybe this is just because I've seen it done wrong, or I've seen people, like, let's just be honest. You know people who are members of churches that has no bearing on their life. They don't go to church. They don't show up to church. They don't live stellar lives, right? There is no impact or influence of their membership on the church on their lives, or in the church on their lives, right? I have a friend, you guys are aware of Pastor Carey, came and preached here a few months ago. And he's the pastor of First Baptist Church downtown. And he was telling me, he was kind of upset about this. They have like 2,200 people on the membership. And he's like, man, we're lucky if 700 people show up on a Sunday. 22, okay, where's the emphasis and the value on membership if you can't get, 40, 30%, whatever the number is on that. Laterno, go. Missed it. Anyway. Gotcha. Right? When you can't get, it's, you know, a quarter of your people don't even show up that are on your membership, that are part of your membership. And so maybe it's just because I'm skewed and I've seen this done all wrong and people don't put the same value on it that maybe they should. I just want people to participate. I don't care if your name is on a roll. Get involved. Be plugged in. Serve somewhere. Be in a small group. I'm still convinced that the greatest form of discipleship is serving with other people. I believe that when you serve with other people and you work with other people and you join together for a common goal and a common cause, that's when the greatest things happen in your life when it comes to your faith and your growth. Like, so get involved, get plugged in. Like, we haven't completely eliminated the idea of doing membership at some point, but I just don't want the organizational mess, to be honest with you. I want people to serve. I want people to get plugged in. I want people to be involved in the life of the church. We value participation over membership. This is another reason. And this one came to me a few weeks ago, and I was like, ooh. You ever have those ideas that are just like, it's gonna, mind blown, right? This is another thing, because, again, remembering that we're very intentional about who it is that we're trying to reach. We're trying to reach people that maybe don't go to church or stop going to church or whatever it is. When you see, let's just say it's a club. Maybe it's a club for old dudes that play poker or something. I don't know. And they've got a sign on the door, and it says, members only. What do you think? I think I can't go in. I'm not invited. It's exclusive. You are not allowed to come in here unless you are like us. And we don't ever want to put that or send that message. Membership it connotes exclusivity. It communicates that you can't be like us. You're not one of us unless you are exactly like us, right? And we just don't ever want to communicate that to people. We want to be inclusive wherever you are in your life, wherever you're at in your journey, man. We want to help you, and we don't ever want to turn people away because of, you know, using terminology and things that are so frivolous. But that's that. We'll get there. The third one is this. And these are legitimate questions, especially if you grew up in church and you kind of had these ideas of what church should be and should be doing. The third one is, why don't you have Sunday school? Legitimate question. People have asked that. And while we believe that there is a great deal of value in a small teaching setting where there can be dialogue and communication and kind of, you know, like working through stuff together and all of those things are so valuable and so important, we just kind of believe there's another means to the end. And that's these things that we talk about all the time, called small groups. What do you think Sunday school is? It's a small group. Wow. Right? They're mind blown again. I know, it's crazy. And so we just believe in small groups. We believe that, and there are a few reasons for that. We believe that it's the same thing. It's the same concept. It's just in a different location, or, you know, maybe it's in people's houses or at these places that are outside of the four walls of the church. And in some cases, we even do them here, depending on what it is and what's going on. It's the same concept. It's just accomplished at different times and different places. And some of the reasons for that are, the first one is that we want Sunday morning to be all about the experience. This is, maybe you guys are very talented and you can multitask. I'm very good at like one thing at a time, right? I've heard most of the guys are like, I expected a response. Because, you know, research says that dudes suck at multitasking. And you're having trouble thinking about that because you're thinking about other things. Ladies, apparently, according to research, are a lot better at multitasking than guys. But we just want the Sunday morning time that we have together to be all about the experience and the atmosphere that we create. And any time that you do more, you just kind of spread yourselves thin, and there's so much going on that not everybody can focus on the one big thing. So we just want Sunday morning to be about the experience. Not to mention we like to sleep in, too. I don't want to get up here for an 8 o'clock Sunday, you know, Sunday school class, to be honest with you, on Sunday morning. I got an amen. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness, too? Why not? I just believe that the focus that we have on Sunday morning is really important, and we don't want to take that away or spread ourselves thin. I also believe that groups, rather than meeting in classes here at the church, groups are better because we meet in people's homes, and you meet in environments outside of that where people tend to let down walls a little bit, because when you're in church, you still kind of act like you're in church, and maybe you're not as honest as you should be, which is, isn't that so counterproductive that we're not as honest as we should be in church? Because we're putting on the fronts because we're in church, for whatever it's worth, right? But when you get into people's homes and you can relax a little bit, and food to me is like, it's a truth serum. You go out, isn't that the truth, man? You go out to dinner and you start talking to people, and then you can just kind of start telling them about who you really are. And so I think food really is, it's a truth serum. So if you ever have to interrogate somebody, give them some food, especially cheesecake. Praise the Lord, right? And so groups, man, they just give us a greater opportunity to get personal with each other, to know each other, to be more honest with each other. When we're more honest with each other, we're more valuable to each other because we can help each other more in the journey that we're on. So we don't discredit the value of Sunday school, and we don't discredit those who have them. We just believe that groups are the best way for us to grow and to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ. The last one is this. Why do we use the word experience over the word service? This one's come up several times. We try to talk about it every once in a while. It's not really that big of a deal. Like, if you slip up and say service, we just make you do push-ups. That's not a joke. Why you guys are laughing. But it's not, if you say service, we don't have a problem with people who use service instead of, you know, experience, as I would hope they don't have a problem that we choose to use experience over service. But we just believe that terminology is very important. The words that you use to describe what it is that you're trying to describe, I think it shows how much value you place on what it is that you're trying to describe. It's not that we have a problem with service. We just believe that the word experience better describes what it is that we hope to accomplish and have on a Sunday morning. Have you ever had that where you've had this word in your head that perfectly summed up what it is that you were trying to sum up, and you're like, and you can think of every synonym possible, but you can't think of that word. And then it comes to you and you're like, boom, crushed it, right? And that's what we think that experience is for our gathering, our coming together on Sunday morning. Man, we want it to be not just like the service. It seems so obligatory, and you have to go to church, and I have to serve God, and I have to give my life for him, although, I mean, he died on a cross for me, right? But experience is something that you anticipate. It's something that you look forward to. It's something that you're kind of eager about. And so we want it to be more of that. We don't want people to show up just because they have to show up. We want people to show up because they want to show up. There's something to look forward to. There's something about us coming together that it's an experience. And that's why we choose the word experience over the word service. And so I think that while we choose to use that word, there are a lot of kind of, you know, fill in the blanks that make sense and kind of help us to understand this more fully. We choose the word experience because we want people to experience the grace of God. Like, you just experience. And if you have experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, man, I do this sometimes. I just think about my life and where I'm at now and where I used to be and the person that I was and the path that I was on and how everything is different now, and it's all because of the grace of God. Like, I was listening to a song yesterday. Do you ever get in those old school moods where you just kind of throw on some old school jams? And so there's an old school song that we used to sing sometimes, and it's called If Not For Grace. Is where would I be? You only know. You only see through eyes of love. And it talks about how the path that we were on, man, it was just not where God wanted us to be, but because of his grace, we're not who we used to be, and we're not, you know, going the same direction that we used to go. And so That's what we want people to experience. We want people to experience, it's a tangible thing, it's a real thing, to experience the grace of God. We want people to experience the warmth and encouragement of others. We want people to experience community. We want people to experience, man, you can have, I hope that when people have a terrible week and things are not going their way and things are just not happening for them that week, I hope that they look forward to Sunday morning. Because they know that when they come here, people are going to love them. People are going to care about them. People are going to be friendly to them. In spite of everything else that's gone on that week, they can experience the warmth and friendliness of others who kind of are on the same journey and going through the same stuff. We get to experience the presence of God through worship. Like we talked about, it says it's such a cool Old Testament psalm. And it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so we believe that when we sing, man, that the presence of God is here. And when that happens, like, things in your life can change. Some of my greatest moments in my life as a Christian have come in times of worship where it's just like, man, maybe I've got some things in my life that need to change. Maybe I'm on some paths that I shouldn't be on. And those times of worship are so convicting and so powerful. And there have been times where I've been inspired to do things through times of worship. And there are times where I've, like, my greatest ideas, and for me, I'm like, I thought it was a great idea, laws of motion. My greatest ideas come through these times of worship where it's like you're just worshiping and you're just expressing your love to God, and all of a sudden, right, epiphany or whatever you want to call it. And so when we worship, we experience the presence of God. We experience the love of God when we hear about Jesus and what he's done for us and how while we were yet sinners, while you were never good enough and you were definitely not on the right path, that Jesus, in spite of that, he still chose to give his life for you. While you were still a sinner, that Jesus chose to come and to give his life as a ransom for us. And so we think about and we experience the love of God when we talk about these things. We experience the power of community when we gather together. Like, there are just things that you cannot do on your own that you need other people to help you do. That can be extremely physical, that can be spiritual, that can be kind of the mental. Sometimes we just need people to help us shoulder the emotional burden that we're carrying. Like, sometimes life is heavy, and sometimes life is hard, and sometimes we just need somebody to be there for us. The best times are when you have somebody in your life, man, you don't have to say anything. Like, you're just there. And that's what community is about. And you get to experience that when you're a part of a family like this, of the church. And so that's why we chose to use the word experience rather than the word service. So those are some of the frequently asked questions kind of with respect to the what that we do, some of the practical applications. We just believe that Sunday school is not really our thing. Membership's not really our thing. Nothing wrong with it. Service isn't really our thing. Again, we don't criticize those who do choose to use those things. We just think that right now in the life of our church, these are the better solutions and answers for us. So those are some of the frequently asked questions. I hope that it helps you to better understand a little bit about your church, because maybe you just need to understand the method to the madness, right? Sometimes I think it's helpful to know what you're a part of and what you belong to so that you can communicate that to other people. Let me pray for us, and then we'll go and enjoy the rest of our rainy Memorial Day weekend. Amen. Father, we love you. God, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us. God, we're so thankful for this church, this body, this group of people, God, that we get to do life with. God, we do believe that we were never intended to live life and do life alone. God, that you've put us in a place like this with people who are on the same journey, who are like-minded, who are trying to accomplish the same things with their life, God, for a reason. And so, God, I pray that you would help us, God, to tap in to those resources, to utilize the encouragement, God, and the accountability that's there through the relationships. God, I thank you for every person, God, who gives and contributes to this church, who understands that it's not about membership, God, but it's about participation, God, that you want us to be involved, active participants in the church and in the kingdom of God. I pray, God, that we never forget that, God, that we never think that just because we show up that that's good enough, God, that there's always more that we can do. God, we love you. And we ask, God, as we leave this place today, God, that you will just help us to be light that shines in the darkness. God, that we'll be hope to people who need hope and are in despair. God, that we'll be just a beacon of light to those, God, who could really use a touch from you. We love you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.